Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into this thing today. Father, we want to thank you again for what you've already prepared through worship, through the word, through freedom, God, and now through this message, Lord. If we pay attention, it'll all flow together today, Lord. And I thank you when we come into your kingdom alignment for your things to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, this morning I want to talk to you about a few moments here from the scriptures, and today's going to be a little different. You're going to have to kind of stay leaned in and pay attention. I don't have that many notes on the screen, but you need to be taking some notes of your own, because today's message is going to be you got to have spiritual eyes and ears and hearts to hear and see this message today, okay? This is not one of them. It's just going to fly by and stuff, and you can follow. You have to have a prophetic utterance to follow today's message, because it is a prophetic sign from the book of Isaiah of what the churches are going to look like in the last days. How many know there's going to be two churches in the last days? There's going to be two, and Isaiah gives us a very clear, but yet it's not clear unless you see it through the prophetic. And so again, prophecy is things that you have to put together, and God will show you what's coming if you pay attention. Okay, so I want to make that aware of you today. But again, it's a prophetic sign. Everybody say prophetic sign. And Isaiah was a prophetic writing. But to set it up, again, to where you can see it a little more prophetically, we're going to start with the book of Revelations. Amen? This is where John was exiled to the island of Patmos, and he gets the revelation of God, and he writes it down, and it was the last book put in the Bible that we call the Scriptures of God. And so in Revelations chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, go ahead and put that up. Then he said, John said, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, or spoke with me. And having turned, I saw what? Everybody say seven. How many? I saw seven golden lampstands. Now, that's very important here. How many were there? Seven. That's going to be important when we go to Isaiah. Go ahead with verse 13. And then it says, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, he was clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about his chest, and with a gold band on. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, in case you don't know the prophetic utterance of that and the interpretation of that, the seven golden lampstands represents the seven churches of Asia. And then he goes on in Revelations and he writes letters to all seven churches. And all seven churches, he says, you say you're this and I see that, but I also say I see this in you. I see you poor, I see you blind, I see you naked, I see you wretched, I see you lukewarm, I see you're going to be spewed out. So he says, I have this against you. You don't know, some of you don't even know you're in this condition, but I'm here to tell you, you are. So this letter was, this is a symbol of, here's the seven churches, and right in the middle of these seven churches is Jesus. Yeah. And he's reaching out to all the seven of these churches, even with their imperfections, and he's saying, listen, I've given you a word where you don't have to be this type of church, because I am coming back for a certain church. Can I have a better amen there? So again, the seven lampstands represent the seven churches. Now, sometimes we say, why seven? And there's been many, and I'm not going to get into that, many theological arguments and things about why seven, but I kind of got it out of this thing here. It's probably at least seven different denominations. It's kind of like, this church was like this, well, this church was like this, and this church was like this. And how many know we're living in that same time? Churches of all kinds. As a matter of fact, I looked this up on the internet and asked the internet, I said, how many church denominations are there worldwide when it comes to the worship of a Christian faith? And how many, anybody want to guess? 1,500. I got 1,500. Anybody want to go higher, 1,500? Got a one. Anybody say higher? Anybody say higher? Maybe more. And higher right there. Okay. I was thinking 1,500 to 2,000. Worldwide, over 45,000 different denominations and claims of belief about the same God. Yeah, I was totally blown away. Amen? And this is probably one of our problems in the church. Too many splinter cells, denominations, and things like that. And again, I'm not against denomination, but when it gets in the way of preaching Jesus because you're this, and you put being this more than you do being a child of God, then you got a problem with your denomination. I don't care who you are, okay? I'm not denomination. I am child of God on planet Earth in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen? So now let's go to the book of Isaiah. We're gonna do all of chapter 4, so hang on today because it's a whopping 6 verses long. So we're just going to cover all of it because it is a prophetic writing about the churches in the last days, okay? Now, when we say last days, you got to understand something. The last days on earth began at Pentecost. That's when the last days began, because the church is now established waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. It has started, but how many knows that, and I'm not one that just say, he could come back before we get through here today. He may come back tomorrow. He could come back a week. It could be 10 years. It could be another 10,000 years. Nobody knows, and anybody that tells you they do know is lying to you, because the Bible says that, okay? So, but I will say this, we need to live like he's coming back with the next breath. Yes. Amen? And so, now one thing I want to point out about the book of Isaiah here, you do know that Isaiah was one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. Yes. So, when we say that it's a prophetic writing, because Isaiah is a prophet of God that can see what's coming. Can I have a better amen there? Okay? So in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, and there's a lot of symbolism in this, you've got to tie into the prophetic and understand it, okay? So in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and how many women?
Seven.
How many?
Seven.
Are you seeing something already? Okay, all right. And 7 women shall take hold of how many men?
One
man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and we will wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name and that you may take away our reproach. We're going to stop there a minute. Leave that up there for a good bit. Now, if you just read that over, okay, yeah. But that is so deep. These 7 women, here the prophetic utterance is, these are the 7 churches. And the one man they're going after is the same thing that's standing in the middle of these 7 churches, and his name's Jesus. So we have 7 women or 7 churches who want Jesus in their life. Somebody say, ain't that good? That sounds good on the premise. But look what it says. These 7 women, 7 churches, as you would, that is seeking Jesus, they only want him for really one thing. To take away their reproach.
Oh, that's good.
To take away their feelings of reproach because of the sin in their life. And they even tell him to the point, and at least they told him to his face, we'll eat our own bread and clothe our own selves. You see, when you took a wife in those days, and much like today, you're responsible for feeding them and clothing them.
Yep.
Are you following? Everybody following so far? Are we all tracking together? Now, anytime in scriptures you read about the church, it is always referred to as a bride. Most people know that. The bride is, the groomsman is Jesus. He's coming for the bride, his church. And then you hear when you reference church in the Bible, it's her or she. She'll be filled with glory. She's doing this. My church, okay? Are you getting this? Got to keep that in mind. So here we have seven women, which represent seven churches, going after to take on the name. We want to be called by your name. Come on. Y'all got to follow me now. We want to be called by your name. We want your name, but we don't want anything else than just other than the reproach gone. Whew. And that's a church. Can I tell you that is a church? Now notice these seven women or these seven churches are not interested with Jesus. They are not interested in being intimate with him. They're not interested in having love and being in love with him. They're not interested in honoring and showing him respect and worship. They're not interested in having a home with him. Come on. They don't even want a real relationship with him. They just want the name to cover their sins. They're after one thing. Just take away the reproach of our sins out of our lives. That's what we're after. And guys, I'll be honest with you, that's what most people are after with Jesus today. I just want a Jesus that takes away the what I feel about my sins and make me feel okay about it. Come on. Are y'all okay? And basically they're saying, listen, that's all we want. We don't want you to provide anything else for us. Hence, we will eat our own bread. We will wear our own clothes. We got that taken care of. We don't want anything else from you, Jesus. Just give us forgiveness. And do you know every church has these types of people in them? These are all seven different kinds of churches. They do it differently, everybody. But one thing they've all got alike is that this kind of person resides in them. And I still believe that's true today, that there are people like this in every church in America and all across the world today. They just want enough Jesus to make them feel good. Well, y'all okay? So these cloak brides that are trying to get to this man Jesus, the seven churches, to get him to marry him, is again, it goes back to they have somewhat of a guilt sometimes. They do feel, which is good. It's good to feel guilt sometimes if that guilt will take you to Jesus for the right reason. They're trying to get rid of the shame that they feel, and they're trying to get rid of that condemnation feeling they get every once in a while. And that's the only thing keeping them down in their life is they have that feeling every once in a while. So they've heard about this Jesus man, and they go to Jesus and just help me get a little forgiveness in my life. That's all they're really after. Are you with me? Now notice here again, they don't want bread and they don't want clothing. Now that's very prophetic there, amen? They don't want the bread of life and they don't want to be clothed with righteousness. And that's what they're saying here. We don't want the bread of life. We don't want to be clothed with righteousness. We just want forgiveness where we can still go do our thing. Yay for that. Are you with me? We don't want that Jesus. Because that bread of life and that cloth of righteousness that he has for every one of us, it is Jesus and him crucified, buried, and resurrected. And if you get that Jesus, you'll want more than just forgiving. You want a relationship. You want to walk with him every day, see him every day, hear from him every day, interact with him every day. Whew. Am I getting anybody in here? Matter of fact, Jesus said this about himself in John chapter 6, verse 51. Jesus declared, look at that. He says, I am the living bread. Everybody say living bread. In other words, he says, I'm the bread of life. Amen? I'm the living bread which came down from where? From heaven, and if anyone eats the bread, he will live how long? Forever. And the bread that I shall give is my what? My flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. In other words, the world can have this. And when we take communion, that's why we take bread. It represents the body that was broken for our sins. And yes, we can get forgiveness of our sins. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. But they have their own bread. They don't want to be clothed with righteousness. They've got their own robes and dresses they want to dress in. So what is that telling God? It is absolutely telling God we've got our own gospel. We've got another gospel. It's man-made. It's self-centered. It's a feel-good gospel that we like. It's bread the way we want it. It's clothing's a lot what we want to wear. Come on. Just give me enough forgiveness to where I can still go do me and feel good about it. That's all they want. Now, don't get me wrong in here. I believe in the forgiveness of sin as much as anybody on planet Earth. I believe that in Jesus Christ there's forgiveness of sin. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just forgiveness of sin. I believe once your sins are forgiven, you can get an anointing. You can have a walk. You can have a talk. You can have power. You can have anointing. You have an in-love, intimate relationship with your Lord and Savior. All through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. But listen, this mansy-pansy, all I want Jesus for is forgiveness. Is that really all you want? And the answer to a lot of people is, yes, that's all I want. I just want the forgiveness where I can feel good about the rest of my life. I really don't want to change. I don't want bread of heaven. I don't want clothed with righteousness. I want my gospel that allows me to do what I want to do. Whew. Touch your neighbor and say, ask them if they're okay. I want my gospel. Now, here's what they don't want. Everybody say they want forgiveness. Now, here's a list of what they don't want. Number one, they don't want any holiness. I don't want to have to be holy like the Lord. I don't want to be held to an holiness standard. Amen? And don't try to put me through no sanctification because I lack my justification. Because if I feel like I'm forgiven, then I'm justified to continue to sin. So they don't want anything that looks like it's a sanctifying process where you're beginning to overcome maybe through freedom or through life groups or through the word or just getting in an altar and turning over a sin to Jesus and repenting from it and walking away from it and changing your life. No, just let me justify my sin. So they don't want no sanctification. They absolutely don't want to get anywhere around where the Spirit of God's moving, where there could be a conviction of the Holy Spirit about your sin. If I get in that situation, I'll leave and go find another church. I don't want to sit in a place where the word is preached and it's going to convict me of my sins, because if I feel like I'm forgiven, then I can still sin. Man, it's quiet in this Presbyterian house this morning. And I don't want no. I don't want no discipleship. Because if I'm getting a discipleship and I've got mentors and spiritual fathers and mothers above me, then I don't want no accountability to my walk with God. So I got my own bread and I wear my own clothes. Thank y'all very much. I don't want no discipleship. I don't want no accountability. And I don't want no real worship. Now notice I said real worship. These are the ones that will come into a set like this today, and they'll sing along, but there's no depth to it. There's no love to it. It's entertainment. Because when you come into this house and it goes up, you can choose to enter in all you want. Because worship comes from here, not here. But the forgive me only crowd, it just comes out of here. It might as well be country or rock and roll or rap or whatever, because it makes no difference.
That's right. That's good.
Come on. So they don't want real worship. Now they'll sit through it and they'll offer up voice, but it's no heart in it. No surrender in it. They don't want no prayer life. Not no prayer life where God can actually talk back to them. Most of the time their prayer life is complaining and a list of gimme, gimme, gimme. All okay? They are not looking to absolutely serve God or His kingdom in any capacity. Their mindset is everything going to be done for me. Have me a nice chair. Have the air conditioner on. Have the music and do the songs I like. Preach like I want to, and if you don't, I'll go find somewhere that does. No, I don't want to come and serve. No, I don't want to do any outreaches. No, I don't want to participate in anything. Me, me, me. But I want a dynamic church that offers all these things. Everybody else needs to serve, but oh, not me. I just need forgiveness only. Good preaching, amen. Y'all got time for two more? You might as well say yeah, because you're going to get them anyway, so just cooperate good. I don't want not a lick of studying the Bible out. I don't mind having a Bible app and posting it every day, but even after I posted, I couldn't tell you what it said. I just posted it to look good. See, again, it's all about the appearance of, oh, I'm forgiven and I'm a Christian and look at me. I sing some, I post a scripture every other day or maybe every day. But you don't even know what that means. You've never applied that word to your life. You didn't dig out there and see what God's speaking to you in that word. You just put it out there, look at me. Now, that's better than nothing. But there's so much more to God in your relationship. Or I hope there is anyway, or I hope you have a desire. And here's the last one. These people just want forgiveness, but they don't want to abstain from all appearances of evil that the Bible tells us to. They're not going to abstain from any appearance of evil. They're going to look like the world, go where the world goes, dress like the world dresses, talk and cuss and smoke and drink and chew and dip and go with those who do, just like the rest of the world. It's quiet in here. I love y'all. That's why I'm preaching this today. They don't look any different the rest of the week with their lifestyle than they do the rest of the world that's dying and going to hell. And that's why they only want forgiveness, because when they can get forgiveness, then they can go on and sin some more and get a little more. Touch your neighbor and say, God, help us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 declares this. For a time is coming. Here's another prophetic word. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teachings, or in other words, there's doctrines. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers and preachers and people with their collar turned around backwards who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And their itching ears want to hear, it's okay, you're forgiven, the Lord understands, you just do you. Itchy ears, what they want to hear. Verse 4, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Another translation uses the word lies there, because a myth is a lie. But that's what we want. Feel good isn't me, just forgive me and leave me alone with the rest of that stuff. Whew. Again, Jesus, would you please help us? And here's the sad part. Unfortunately, there are churches everywhere that'll give you that. They'll give you that. If you're looking for that, they will be more than happy to pour into you that. If it means you'll come and you'll sit and you'll give, they will tell you you're okay. I'm not going to tell you that. If it causes you to get up and leave and never come here again, I hope you keep coming back, but I want you to know the truth that sets you free. There's more to it than just forgiveness. As a matter of fact, if you truly are forgiven, you will desire the rest of God. If you know you're set free from your sins, you know the one who done it wasn't you, and you are more than happy to serve and do all the things he wants you to do. But these people, all these places and people say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. Which one are you talking about? What Jesus are you serving? What does your Jesus do for you? What does your Jesus say about this? What does your Jesus say about sin? We all say we believe in Jesus. Most people do. James chapter 2:19 says this. Oh, you believe there's one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. When you come to the knowledge that you really think there is a Jesus out there, you may not know that much about him, but you kind of think he's real, you have reached demon faith 101. Because even the demons have that faith. Let me read that same thing, James 2:19 out of the Passion Translation. Put this up. Watch this. Now, I love this. You can believe all you want that there is one God. That is wonderful. But even the demons know this, and they tremble with fear before him. Watch this now. Yet they're unchanged, they remain demons. They are unchanged. They have some knowledge about the truth, but they haven't walked in that truth. And if a demon says, I believe in Jesus, but I don't receive him and walk after him and serve him and worship him and know his word and get discipled and get a mentor and be what he's called me to be, he's still going to be a demon. And any person that says, I want a Jesus that just forgives me and I don't want to do anything else, you're still a lost person. Y'all, that's the first church. One verse covers the whole first church, and there's some more there, but I don't have time, but I'm going to try to do good today. The second church is the rest of the verses. Verses 2 through 6, and we're going to take some time and go through them right quick. So let's go ahead and put up Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. Now again, you got to look prophetically, everybody say prophetically, into these scriptures to see this. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and what?
Glorious.
Wow. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. Now, and again, I'm going to hit some highlights because it is so deep I'd be here. I could probably spend a Sunday on each one of these verses. Okay, but just for the sake of time, we're just going to get a little bit of it. The branch here, when it talks about this right here, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. That's talking about Jesus and his church. What it really means, it is going to be the remnant. A remnant is a section of people who stayed true, that didn't fall away and didn't fall into the silliness that we've been talking about in the first church.
Right.
Not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is like this. But there is a remnant of people who will not settle for anything less than 100% of the truth of God's word, whether they even like it or not. They absolutely go, well, that's true.
Yeah. Amen.
This is what the remnant is. And so this branch, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches in the New Testament. Okay, and this is what it's talking about here. In that day, the branch of the Lord, the church of the Lord, the churches of the Lord who are all attached to him as the vine. And watch this now. This church shall be beautiful and glorious. Hallelujah. Now here's, this part is exciting for those that are the remnant church. These are some exciting prophetic words to you and me today. And the fruit of the earth shall be what? So this church that's going to be operating in the last of the last days is going to be a church of excellence, and it's going to be a church that is appealing to people.
Yeah.
Who's it going to appeal to? It's going to appeal to those who have been walking halfway with Jesus, one foot in the world, one foot out here, because there's going to come a time when things happen. They're going to say, oh my gosh, I need some real big Jesus now, and they're going to look, and they're going to seek, and they're going to find remnant churches all around, and they're going to say, the heck with this mamby-pamby junk over here. I need some truth. I need somebody who knows how to lay hands, cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick. And that's going to be an excellent and appealing church to a lot of people. Whew. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 even talks about it. It says that he, Christ, might present her, and there's the church, to himself a what?
Glorious.
A glorious church. Let me tell you something. I know there's a lot of different preachings about the end time church, but my Bible says he's coming back for a glorious church. Now, there could be persecutions and there could be tribulations. I don't care what you care. I don't care if you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I really don't care. Because God, I'm pan-tribist. I'm a pan-tribist. God's going to pan it out the way he wants to. I just need to be ready for anything. Okay? So whether you think you're going to get called on out or called out halfway or go to the end, I don't. Be ready. If it were today or tomorrow, just be ready. And while you're ready, if you're ready, the job for us now until pre, mid, or post comes is to get as many people ready with us. By being this type of church, the glorious church. But he says, I'm going to present myself a glorious church, and she ain't going to have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And what did that first church want? They don't want nothing to do with holiness. Because that's going to cramp their style. I promise you, when I was outside of Christ, my style needed some cramping. I can guarantee you that. Go on to verse number 3 real quickly. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains, everybody say and remains, and remains in Jerusalem will be called, here we go again, come on, say it with me, you're going to be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Now, people read that, and if you don't read it prophetically, you say that has nothing to do with me because I'm in America and I ain't setting up in Jerusalem. There are two things here you need to understand prophetically. When you get born again, you become a Jew. All the Gentiles are grafted into the Hebrew faith through the blood of the first and only Jew that ever really mattered, Hebrew, Jesus Christ. Now, the rest of them do matter. Don't take that wrong, okay? But he is the man. The second thing is you need to understand prophetically about this verse is there is a geographically place on earth called Jerusalem in Israel. And there is a second Jerusalem in the heavens. There is a earthly Jerusalem, and there right now exists a spiritual Jerusalem. Go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. A lot of y'all, I didn't know that's in the Bible. I said, and I'll say it again, if you read your Bible, it will bless you. It'll bless you this morning, amen? It'll bless you anytime you read it. So again, there's an earthly Jerusalem, there's a spiritual Jerusalem. Another name given in the Bible for the Jerusalem that is to come is it'll be the New Jerusalem. Y'all have heard it in the scriptures, the New Jerusalem, okay? So what it's saying is when you get born again, you become part of the heavenly Jerusalem right now. I don't have to tangibly be standing in Israel in Jerusalem to partake of the benefits of being in the heavenly realms of Jerusalem on earth. And he's saying you're going to be blessed. Amen? Amen. Go on to verse 4. Now watch this. When the Lord has washed away the filth from the daughter of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, the churches, how's he going to do it? By the spirit of judgment. Now watch this. And by the spirit of burning. Everybody say the spirit of burning. Now this burning is not the lake of fire. This burning is set up to where God's judgment comes and convicts us of our sins through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that burning is burning away the sin out of your life if you will pay attention to God's direction through the Holy Spirit. And it'll keep you from burning in hell. Are you with me? Let me just read it to you like I wrote it down. The burning of the Spirit represents God's purifying and refining work through the judgment and the Spirit fire. It is how He, God Almighty, cleanses His people from their sin so they can become holy and restored back to the New Jerusalem. Amen? You and I are already a part of something that's going to come back to earth one day. When you get born again, if you live it, if you're just not looking to get just forgiveness, but you're looking for the total package of Jesus Christ and all the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, then the Lord will create, now watch this, he will create above everybody say dwelling. Dwelling. Now the word dwelling also means tabernacle. So in other words, a tabernacle is what today we call what? Church. The Lord will create above every dwelling place in Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem churches, who are the remnant churches still on the earth, and will be here for whenever Jesus comes back, and above their assemblies is another word that we use for the word ecclesia, which means church. Are you seeing this? I know it's kind of hokey-jokey, but you got to follow me. Okay? So here we have the dwelling place of the New Jerusalem, the Mount Zion, and above all the churches, there's going to be a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of flaming fire by night, for over all the glory there will be a covering. Everybody say a covering. Now, real quickly, let me read to you Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Talking about the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son, Jesus, radiates God's own what? Glory. Here's this glorious church. And notice it's only through Jesus. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God Himself, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command when He had cleansed us from our sins, cleansed us. Here's this cleansing again by fire. He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Not just to forgive you of your sins, but to give you a life on earth that makes a difference while you're here. For his kingdom to advance on earth as it is in heaven. He went through the fire. He went into the pits of hell those 3 days, and he took the key to death and hell and the grave. He defeated it soundly, where it would not have to be a part of any person who surrenders their life to Jesus Christ. It would not have to be a part of your life. No. Touch your neighbor and say, you ain't got to go there. But you got to get more than what you got. Now, if you notice something here, the prophet Isaiah is many years after Egypt, or the Israelites had come out of Egypt, correct? Do you remember how Egypt got around in those days? When they were wandering around, they didn't know where to go. The Bible says that there'd be a pillar of smoke and clouds that would guide them in the daytime, and then there'd be a pillar of fire at night. So what was that? In other words, the Spirit of God in these last days to this remnant church that's under his glory and working in his glory, which the glory of God, let me just give you the basic translation of the glory of God. The glory of God is simply this, the manifested presence of God himself.
Yes, hallelujah.
Woo! That's the glory of God. And he says, this church is going to have my manifested presence with them at all times. Not just on Sunday, but it's going to be at work on Monday and Tuesday. It's going to be at the ball games. It's going to be where you go on the weekends. It's going to be how... Well... But this cloud and this fire, now the prophet is prophesying that the last church is going to be led. Now, let me just say this, and it probably upsets some of the religious people. It's not in the smoke itself. We fire up these fog machines back here and smoke this place up. I don't mean the glory's in here. But to them, it represented that there's going to be something that no matter what comes into your day or what creeps into your night, that when you look up, you're going to see Jesus, and he's going to give you directions through these times of your life. Oh, yeah, that's a good place to clap, but you done blowed it. Amen. And he sat down in the place of honor by the right hand. I love that. Now quickly go to verse 6, last verse. And there will be a tabernacle. Everybody say a tabernacle. Now a tabernacle is the dwelling place of God. Amen. It's the church. Now watch this. There's going to be a shade in the daytime from the heat. Oh, send it, Lord. Because Wednesday is supposed to be 100, and I think by Thursday and Friday up to 105. Now, that's not heat index here in Alabama. That's just the temperature. Then you add on the heat index. So we're looking at 107 to 110 degrees. If you don't like that, you better get saved and not go to hell. That's all I got to say. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. But there will be a tabernacle. The tabernacle is going to have a shade in the daytime from the heat and a place, everybody say refuge. Come on, say refuge. Refuge and for a shelter from the storm and the rain. So in other words, the temple, these churches, this glorious church of the New Jerusalem living now in the heavenly realm on earth, this church is going to have, when the heat is on and other people are falling apart at the seams because they got the phone call or they got the information or they got the bad report and they've fallen apart like a cheap $2 suit because they were a mile wide but only an inch deep, this church is going to step up and say, the same thing's happening to us, but we've got a shelter. I've got a refuge. It may come nigh to my house, but it will not possess my land. I will live to it. I will live through it in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. I'm not just forgiven. I am armed with the mind of Christ. I got the shield of faith. My feet have the gospel on them. I don't have any back plate because I'm not turning around and running. I'm going forward. But that's only going to have in the remnant church. It's only going to be a part of the glorious church, not the forgive me only bunch. They're going to be pitiful in these times. You're going to have a place of refuge and a shelter from the storm and the rain that's hitting everybody. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? Do you not know that you You are the temple, the dwelling place, the tabernacle of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you know that, you don't want just forgiveness. You'll never settle for just forgiveness. You won't settle until you've got everything you can get from God, because He didn't die to give you one thing. He died for you to have everything He's got. The Bible said it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The whole kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father. That place of refuge, that place of shelter, it simply means it's a place of safety. It is where we will be protected. It may not look like I'm protected. I still got the bad report. I still got the bad phone call. This right here, I still lost this, seems like. But in the midst of that, you've got a security in Christ that no one else can have. And you know you're not going to give up or give out and give in. You know you're going to make it, because God has already told you. You just got to start saying, okay, Lord, let me see this through some different eyes. Start looking for the blessing. Start looking to be the blessing in that time. Whew. Stand to your feet. So I want to ask you this morning, and I know we went pretty quick, but that's okay. I hope you got it. Bow your heads. I want to ask you a question. Which church you want to be a part of? Because there's only going to be two. This great prophet prophesied to us, and he's not lying. There's going to be a give me what I want church. I don't want nothing else from you. I got my own bread. I got my own gospel. I got my own righteousness. I'll decide what it is. All I want is to feel good about my sin. Just give me, make me feel like I'm forgiven for it, and I'll be good. And then there's going to be the glorious church, full of His power and His might and learning and growing, and this church is still going to have some struggles too. Don't get me wrong. We still live in the same fallen world. It's just our approach is different. Our desires are different. We don't desire ourselves. We desire the fullness of God to us and through us. So which church do you want to be a part of? Because here's the thing. You're already a part of one of them. You belong to one of these churches right now. Now, these are the two churches of Jesus. There's one other church. It's the church of Satan. And the church of Satan has kept you from coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and even being forgiven to begin with. Now, you must be forgiven of your sins, because if you don't, through Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. But let me say it again. If you get truly forgiven, you're not going to want to stop with just feeling forgiven. You're going to feel and be drawn to Jesus Christ in the fullness of His life. And you'll never stop being discipled. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Woo, thank you, Jesus, I am. I'm still not doing everything 100% right. But I'm not where I used to be. I promise you that. And I know I haven't arrived yet, so I've got more to learn, to do, and to grow in. And I got news for you. I don't care where you're at, so do you. As long as you got breath, you can learn. The Holy Spirit can teach us all. So which church do you want to be a part of? Let me just encourage you today. If you're the forgive me only church, you need a new church. Straight up, you need a new church. But only you get to decide, because God's love is so merciful and graceful and so sovereign, He lets you decide how much of Him you want, how much of Him you deny. He lets you decide if your pride stands in the way between you receiving the fullness or just taking only what you and your pride will allow in. And I would love to tell you there's time for you to work on it. I don't know. And I'm not trying to scare you. I don't ever want to scare you to Jesus. I want you to come to Him because you love Him. And you recognize His Son's blood and His crucifixion and His death and His burial and His resurrection and the forgiveness of sins through that. And that makes you fall in love with Him, not in fear of Him. But today, right here where you stand, the first thing we're going to offer is for you to get out of the church of Satan. It's kept you from acknowledging Jesus Christ is not just a Savior, but He's Lord of your life. And today you want to surrender your life to Him. And if that's you, you won't be joining a church today. Don't worry about that. God will direct you later on. Don't worry about church membership. Don't worry about am I going to be a Baptist? No, you're going to be a child of God. We don't offer you religion and we don't offer you church membership today. We're not worried about that. We're worried about where you're going to spend eternity. So without any strings attached from the worldly system, anybody in here say, man, I want to surrender my life to Christ. I've never been born again. We call it getting born again. We call it getting saved in the church. That's the church terms. It's getting saved and getting born again. And you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. The word says that. And I always tell you, if there was other ways, I promise you, I would tell you there's other ways, but there's not. I can guarantee you 100% this is the way, the only way, the truth and the life is through Jesus. So this morning, right where you're at, if you just throw your hand up and say, today's my day, I want to surrender my life. Anybody in here, with the lifting of your hand, just say, today's my day. Anybody? Maybe watching online. If you did that, let us know. How many today would say, I may need to change my church membership. I may need to start visiting a glorious church. Now, as long as it's in the earthly realm, there's not going to be a perfect church. Make sure you understand that before you get out of here. The full glory church is going to be when Jesus comes back and sets everything right. But there are churches that are remnant churches where they're going to be going after God with all their heart, their might, their strength, and everything within them. Now, they may mess up from time to time, but when they mess up, they fess up, they repent up, and they get right, and they go on again. So again, there's no perfect church on earth right now, including this one. But we are going after a perfect God here. So how many would they just say today, I need some work between churches? Oh, nobody wants to lift their hand hardly in here today, huh? See, that's that pride. Oh, there's a bunch of them starting to go up now. And there's no condemnation. You know what? When you raise your hand, man, that is glory. That's the presence of God saying God's on that person to let them know he loves them too much to leave them in that. And maybe that's all the teaching you've ever had. Just get forgiveness and go to heaven. Because that's a popular message. Just get forgiveness. Say the name Jesus. In a few weeks, I'll be proving to you just saying his name ain't going to be enough. Unless you believe with your mouth or your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, even the demons believe and confess that Jesus is real, but they remain demons. Now, you're not a demon. But I don't want you to be left out. I want you to get everything God sent his son to die for your life. I want you to have the whole package. Not for me, but for you. For you, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids, your lineage. Those around you that is going to look at you and they're going to come to Christ. But I want the whole package for you and your life. And all for the glory of our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, I ask you, take these hands today that was lifted and take them by their hand, Lord, and begin to walk them into your glorious church, God. And your glorious church is filled with people just like all of us in here who are seeking your glory, wanting your presence, God. And Lord, we're in the Word. We're faithful to serve. We're praying. We're worshiping. We're abstaining from the appearances of evil that the world just so simply has said, just walk it right on into the church and transform the church back to the world. And the church is saying, no, we want to transfer you from the world to the kingdom. So, Lord, would you take us by the hand? Take me by the hands, God, and continue to lead, guide, and direct my paths. And let's depend on the Holy Spirit to give us conviction of sins, not condemnation. Everybody say conviction. That's the greatest thing you can have walking in this world is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's the love of God showing you his way only. So, Lord, let that conviction be on us today, God, in a holy way, in a great way that just changes our lives, our mindsets, and our paradigms, God, begin to shift to your word and your kingdom, Father. Do you love God this morning? Come on. Do you love your Lord? Do you love your Savior? Do you love your Redeemer today? Do you understand how much your God loves you? How much your Savior loves you? Your Lord loves you? Your Redeemer, he loves you? He thinks you are to die for, and he did it. So, Lord, you do that, I'm going to live for you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give him glory in this house. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.